This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Ann Kirkpatrick, superintendent of the NOPD, will visit with us. We'll talk about juveniles terrorizing schools and the deadly second-line shootings in St. Rock, and we understand that there may be some new instances of terrorizing schools just today maybe and yesterday, so we'll talk about that as well. Mel Dussel, Dawn Busters, Kiwanis Club, we'll get an update on the world's largest turkey fry that you can pick up your turkeys at your order on Wednesday, November the 27th, the day before Thanksgiving. We'll visit with him for a brief period. Rafael Goinecci joins us in the 11 o'clock hour. We've got a lot to talk about here as well. A lot of different things happening. A lot of folks have separated themselves from organizations. We'll talk about the meaning of that and where that will all play out. Chriselle Stipe, Senior Manager of Health Promotion, Louisiana Public Health Institute. Today is Great America Smokeout Day. We'll talk about the implications of smoking in our communities across the country and, most importantly, in this state. Talking about this state, we have the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana joining us, Billy Nungesser. Billy, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Noah?
Doing well. I know we got a lot to talk about today. Let's start with the tax session. What are you hearing? It seems as though they're trying to get something crafted by the end of the day today.
Yeah, there's so many moving parts. I was very pleased that the Senate fought to get the tax credits in for the movie industry. A lower number, but still it doesn't kill that industry. Historical tax credits, another very important tool in our toolbox for rebuilding so many historical buildings and so many projects planned and underway that would absolutely stop if that went away. I hope we get things worked out. You know, I was passing out that white sheet on the quail tax that Trina proposed, that fee on processed fuels, that with LNG today would bring in tens of billions of dollars. And as an alternative, I think we always got to have some options instead of just cutting everything and putting taxes on everything. So hopefully they'll get it worked out, and if not, it'll carry over into the regular session and probably tweak a few things. I'm over in Alabama today, so I didn't I'm over here at a state park. We have a whole bunch of people from the North Shore over here to look at this resort conference center at building those in our state parks to show them how beautiful it's done. So I didn't see the updates of yesterday's session.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because we can pivot to that topic. That thing has been a huge success, I'm told.
It really is. You know, it pays for all of the state parks in Alabama. And several years ago, when Donna Daniel did a study to see if one would work on land next to Fountain Blue, not in the state park, next to it, to complement the park, rumor got out that I was building a casino. And I was never going to convince the people on the North Shore at that time that was a lie. So it took a couple years. People still come up and apologize for screaming at me in restaurants that night that we had a public meeting. But I think it's calmed down, and this is exactly what we want. We want a private-public partner. We want somebody to build it, take advantage of it, give us a small percentage, and we can do so much good with that money for our parks, our trails, all across Louisiana.
Not to mention, you lure people, right? It's hard to find accommodations close to certain areas, and obviously that would really energize a lot of those little small communities along the North Shore Lake Pontchartrain.
Absolutely, Noel. You know, we have, I think, 300 to 400 groups that meet all over the state every year. The assessors, the clerks of courts, the mayors, the pump operators, you name it. They don't meet in New Orleans because the per diem does not cover their hotel bill. So you build a 150-room resort conference center on the North Shore. Those groups are usually 300 to 500 people. So it will fill all the other hotels. It won't hurt them. And it'll be bring people to see the community, shop, spend money. We're looking at one of these facilities here. We've got someone interested in doing one at our Toledo Bend Park, and then possibly one in North Louisiana, where we think they will have the most opportunity to make money and host these kind of events.
Billy, let's pivot to another topic that you've talked a lot about. I just see in breaking news, Governor Jeff Landry criticizes the Mid-Barataria diversion project, saying it would break Louisiana culture. Your thoughts?
I want to hug him. I applaud the governor for standing up and doing the right thing. You know, they keep throwing rocks at him saying, well, he's going to cost the state $500 million. Well, shame on the past administration for spending $500 million before you get a permit. Who in their right mind would do that? And then for the Corps of Engineers to have a private groundbreaking, and they did that because they feared the next governor would do the right thing and stop this ridiculous project. No, you know the hurricane that hit Florida? I was on the phone with the National Weather Service. Do you realize if we didn't have that cold front to protect Louisiana, we would have been looking at the first Category 6 hurricane ever. It would have wiped out. If that doesn't scare the hell out of Louisiana and quit these tinker-toy projects designing marsh grass, we better put a dredge out there 24/7 and start building land. We better scrap the 50-year coastal plan. We don't have 50 years. And we better come up with a 5 to 10 year plan and pump dredge material 24/7 if we got any chance of surviving a major storm. It's not just a cliche to say, oh, this 50-year plan. Looking at the storms getting stronger, we better start getting defensive and really get out there and put some land between us and these hurricanes.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I keep bringing this up, but no one seems to be talking about the passes down, like when you talk about Barataria Bay, you know, Four Bayou, Cooper Bell. I mean, Cooper Bell, I used to swim across it. I mean, it's like a mile and a half wide now. You know, they had a sandbar that was always moving. I think that's probably still there, but Four Bayou, that is one bayou now. It's gone. And it would seem to me, this project is not going to reestablish anything down there. I mean, we need to figure out what we're going to do down there to be the speed bumps.
Well, you saw the recent article in the paper said scientists are saying it may do more harm than good. We've been saying that for 10 years. And when this project first was laid out, it was going to cost $250 million. We know the Corps of Engineers always has cost overrun, but $250 million to $3 billion? If you or I did that, we'd be out of business. It's crazy that we let these people ram this stuff down our throat. And look, they keep talking about Mardi Gras Pass. It didn't build any land. That thing grew 4,000 feet wide, 100 feet deep, all the levee that it washed out. That's the only sediment that's in that pass. And listen, you talk about saltwater intrusion. If we don't close off Mardi Gras Pass and we build this diversion, New Orleans will have saltwater because a third of the river is going through Mardi Gras Pass, slowing the flow. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you. You slow the flow, that saltwater is coming further upriver. Every year that Mardi Gras Pass got wider and deeper, the saltwater creeped further upriver. And now the Corps is going to spend $20 million and study it for 5 years. Common sense tells you, close off that pass, put the flow back in the river, and you keep the saltwater at bay. And unfortunately, we got to, I hope in the next Congress, we can change the Corps from telling us what to do to supporting the local projects and people that know better than the Corps.
Billy, so if we were to go to Mardi Gras Pass just as a science experiment, and let's just for argument say they're right, it's created new land. Why wouldn't we just figure out how much that is, how much land was created? We know what the other implications are with saltwater intrusion, a third of the water being diverted, and all of that other stuff. And why can't we quantify how long it would take us, how long it took to get to where they are, versus how long it would take us to get to where they are dredging? And it would seem to me that we would have gotten there a lot quicker dredging than just allowing Mardi Gras Pass to continue to get wider and deeper and that kind of sort, taking more of the diversion out. I mean, that seems to me
absolutely
to be a fairly easy calculation. I mean, we know what it is. We have satellite. We know how much has been dropped. How long would it take us that same amount of soil by a dredge?
You know why? A dredge, you're going to go out to bid. You're going to get your best price per cubic yard to pump material. These consultants and these engineers get paid a lot of money to produce a lot of paperwork. They make a lot of political donations. And so they're the ones making the decisions. Instead of just putting a dredge out there, look, you dredge from the river, you deepen the river, so you increase the trade, the shipping lanes, and you build that land now, not in 50 years. And it just makes too much sense. And look, any diversion, any land it builds is below the waterline. So it will not lower storm surge 1 inch. We need to lower storm surge, which will lower insurance rates and give us a chance to live out our lives in South Louisiana. We don't have 50 years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, the state owns a dredge or two, don't they?
But you long-term lease these dredges and you put them out there and going from project to project to project. And there's another thing. I've been out on the dredges where the Corps gives out a $6 million project. They take all the pipe up, come in 6 months later, go out 600 yards from that spot and start all over again. Spend more mob on mob and demob. There's got to be a plan to start on each end of the state and go out and build these barrier islands back, rock the outsides, let them build them up 8 feet, and they'll get beat up by a hurricane. But those trees will grow back. There's a ridge down at South Pass that was pumped before Hurricane Betsy to about 7 feet. It's full of roseau canes. The only cattle to survive Katrina were on that ridge. It's still there. And we've spent billions on projects creating pretty marsh, and CPRA goes out there and waves at the camera, and 6 months later it washes away. You've got to build elevation and get trees and growth on there that it'll get beat up by a storm, but it will survive. But we keep recreating stuff over and over, pretty marsh, that doesn't last.
Yeah. I just hope that the governor makes whatever the decision is. We decide what we're doing and we move on. And we have advocated, you have advocated for dredging. I've advocated for dredging. I went down there and looked at Mardi Gras Pass, eyes on, got in a boat with the Pontchartrain Conservancy. We didn't come to an agreement on much because I saw vegetation there that requires that it be underwater for a certain amount of time each year in order to survive. And I didn't see any land above the waterline. I saw a lot of land that was built up that made it shallow, But that doesn't really get us to where we need to be if that's going to be our first line of defense, because everything behind here is all open water. And it just didn't make any sense to me, and continues to not make any sense to me.
Well, let me tell you, the city of New Orleans, that seawall around New Orleans, the wall around New Orleans is sinking. We know that. Sea rise is rising. We know that. If we don't have a major hurricane in the next 5 to 8 years, you're going to have to raise that wall. Where are you going to get the billions of dollars? But if we put a dredge out there and lowered storm surge to New Orleans, we could buy an extra 50 years, 100-year protection. So it's survival for the city of New Orleans.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, we go back to the rocks off the shore of Grand Isle, where now the beach extends to the rocks.
Yep.
And we tried burrito levees. They didn't work very well. It's incredible. Real quick, let's talk about, we have a new exhibit at the Cabildo.
Yeah, we're real excited. We kicked it off yesterday. There'll be a big event at the Cabildo tomorrow night, but it's Rod Reed. It's all of his paintings leading up to the Blue Dogs. And I went through it yesterday, Newell, and I got to tell you, I was blown away at some of the paintings I've never seen. The Rod Reed Foundation, his son and Wendy, they've lent this collection to us to display the early works. There's a movie that we show there that you hear from George himself. And just to see some of the features and early paintings before the Blue Dog that I never saw before was pretty incredible. It's well worth going to. It's a great exhibit and really kind of the life story of leading up to how the Blue Dog came so famous. And there's incredible work before that. And really pretty interesting exhibit. And I encourage everyone to get out and see it.
How long will the exhibit be there, do you recall?
It's going to be, I think, for the next 6 months. It's going to be there a while. I don't have the exact date.
I know you've been having these regional litter summits, Keep Louisiana Beautiful. There's one coming up in Jefferson Parish in December. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're learning around the state. We started in Shreveport, Alexandria, Lake Charles. And what I'm learning is we've got to give the tools to the local governments. And we're working with DOTD. They have been great partners, I can't tell you, on enough money to cut grass and pick up litter and what is needed in each area. But also you've got a lot of areas where they got garbage pickup in town, but the outlying areas do not, and people take their garbage and go dump it. So if we can get the garbage contractors that have the municipality pickup to put some drop-off in the outlying areas in these parishes where they don't have garbage pickup everywhere and make that part of their contract. So that's some of the discussion. Also, I learned that although it's a law, teachers are not teaching about the litter in school. And we spent a lot of time and energy putting together a manual, videos for these kids to change the way their behavior. We also put together a 4-minute video that all the driving schools are supposed to show you, and you have to answer questions on your driving test about litter. We need to make sure those driving schools, which not all of them are doing it, are showing that video. So we need everybody to buy into this. So one day we're not spending $100 million cleaning up Louisiana every year. $92 million we spent last year cleaning up after the fact.
Absolutely. It's an incredible program, and education is certainly the key on many fronts. Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor for the state of Louisiana, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We truly appreciate it, and have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. Have a great weekend.
All righty, folks, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, we'll visit with Chriselle Stipe, Senior Manager, Health Promotion, Louisiana Public Health Institute. Today is Great American Smokeout Day. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, folks, today, November the 21st, the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living will join communities across the state to observe the annual Great American Smokeout. And here to talk to us about it is Chriselle Stipe, Senior Manager, Health Promotion, Louisiana Public Health Institute. Chriselle, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this morning.
So tell us about the Great American Smokeout.
Okay, so today, November 21st, is designated for the Great American Smokeout. We call it GASO for short. It first started about 50 years ago by the American Cancer Society, basically a national movement across the U.S. to combat tobacco use. The first one that was held in 1976, nearly a million smokers quit for the day. So it became something significant. So every year in November on the third Thursday, we basically celebrate and educate folks on the Great American Smokeout.
Do we recall, I mean, I know there's been significant gains, right, relative to smoking and the percentage of the population that smokes today as opposed to many years ago. Do we know, like in 76, what percentage of the population was smoking and what percentage is smoking today?
Oh, yes. Definitely in 1976, a large amount of the population was smoking. I don't have the percents off the top of my head. Today, it's definitely decreased just with years of, you know, finding out that connection between smoking and the onset of cancer. And the smoking and the effect of the effect it has on other diseases. So the number has decreased. In Louisiana, we're still at 21% of Louisiana smoke, which is still a little higher than the national average.
So what is the national average?
The national average is about 17%.
Oh, wow. And we're at, 21%, you said?
21%. So we've done, a lot of progress has been made over the years regarding smoking and tobacco use. People have decreased, but we still have a number of folks that continue to smoke, those who are highly addictive, the heavier smokers, and just those who utilize smoking and tobacco products to help cope with issues in life and stress, just like other substances. So we do have a large increase.
So these numbers include vaping and all of these other exotic ways of smoking nowadays?
Yes. Yes, it does. So, yes, over the years, companies have become very creative and trying to get folks to use tobacco products. Definitely youth and adults along with that by selling what we would call electronic nicotine devices. These are e-cigarettes. These are vape products that provide nicotine to folks. It's different from the combustible burning cigarette, but it does provide nicotine to folks. And it's not healthier. It's been advertised as being healthier, but it's not. There are other health issues that these products cause.
And obviously, the cost of health care, we're all impacted by this, right, for our state, whether it be Medicaid, Medicare, commercial insurance. The more smokers that you have in a geographic region, typically the higher your health care costs are, correct?
Definitely. Your premium is higher if you're a smoker, and that's a cost for businesses, an increase in cost for the individual. And then overall, just healthcare costs in Louisiana totals like $1.8 billion due to tobacco use and smoking. Also, Medicare costs, they're reaching almost $800 million due to smoking. And then just for the individual, just to the tax burden on the household is about $1,200 per household.
So say that again. So the tax burden, state and federal tax burdens, as it relates to smoking, amounts to about $1,200 per household in the state of Louisiana?
Yes, sir.
That's a big number.
It is. It really is. It really is. And then, you know, you're talking about the cost on the person, too. You know, it is an addiction. Along with habit. And so we do provide services to help people deal with that. But the cost of purchasing these products, if you add that up, you know, it depends on a pack of how many packs they smoke a day. You know, it could be up to $1,500.
So, and there is a disproportionate number of those of the lower socioeconomic group that smoke already, right? So they're even disproportionately impacted by the cost of cigarettes in order to fulfill or satisfy their habit.
Exactly. Usually those without a high school diploma, you know, those who are making a low amount of money for the year, less than $15,000, or even less than $50,000 annually, we find that they're smoking more compared to others. And it's linked to those social determinants of health, you know, how, you know, food costs are high, just the cost of living is high, and people are struggling, and they're trying to cope and dealing with that stress, healthcare costs, those types of things. So it all goes back to those who are trying to cope with life issues, and we're noticing that is causing an increase in using tobacco products.
Now, I remember a while back there was some reporting about menthol cigarettes and some of the dangers of that actually may be greater than other type of cigarettes. Am I remembering this correctly?
Yes, you are. Yes. Menthol cigarettes. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Menthol cigarettes are marketed towards certain populations to get them to easily get hooked on the product. If you know what menthol is, it's cool. It's a cooling agent. We see it in other products. We see it in ointments. We see it in lip balm. But menthol is meant to cool the cessation when you're smoking, so it won't be so harsh. So it's easily for folks to handle a cigarette and to start smoking and then eventually get addicted. And groups that are focused on that, that they targeted is youth, young folks. Young folks mostly smoke menthol and flavored cigarettes, so it'll be easy for them to start. The African-American community has been marketed to the African-American community historically. And then there's other populations. Native American populations have been targeted for menthol cigarettes. Now, menthol, it's easy to get started, but it's proven to be difficult to quit when you use menthol products. It's not impossible, but many people who smoke menthol and try to quit actually report that it's extremely difficult.
And then you have the issue of secondhand smoke. My mother was a smoker, 3 packs of Pall Mall a day. I remember telling her that it felt like I grew up in an ashtray and that I was probably going to die of secondhand smoke before she does. She's still alive, fighting lung cancer today, stage 4 lung cancer. But, you know, when you're smoking, 60 Pall Malls, you know, the odds are not in your favor.
Right. Secondhand smoke, it's basically two types of smoke. It's a smoke that's being exhaled from the end of the being exhaled from the mouth of the smoker, and then you have the smoke that's being streamed from the end of the cigarette that's not being filtered. So many people would believe that, you know, okay, I'm not getting, you know, as much exposure than the person that's smoking. But if you're around someone, I would say 20 minutes of exposure indoors from secondhand smoke, you can increase your risk of having a heart attack and stroke. People don't believe that, but it's actually true. When you live and grow up with a smoker, you are increasing your risk of developing some type of chronic illness from receiving that secondhand smoke. And definitely we know that tobacco smoke, smoking affects lungs and causes lung cancer. And lung cancer actually is, it's a diagnosis that people usually find out in the later stages, or they find out accidentally, like if they're going in for another type of screening and the doctor may find, you know, it on an MRI, it may be diagnosed that way because the symptoms early on is not noticeable. Once you notice the symptoms, it's usually in a later stage, unfortunately.
Yeah. So y'all are having events across the state. The Mount Olive Christian School started at 8:30 this morning in Athens, Louisiana. Alpha Lambda Chapter of Omega Psi Phi at 11 at Southern University in New Orleans out on 6400 Press Drive. Exxon Mobil on Howell Boulevard in Baton Rouge from 8:30 to 10:30 today. And Southern University in Shreveport, College Success Class presentation. Johnson Recreation at noon to 2 out on Berg Jones Lane, 2800 Berg Jones Lane in Monroe. So obviously big events today, and we thank you for joining us and sharing this information of the Great American Smokeout Day. Thank you so much, Chriselle Stipe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You too. All right, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. So we've been on the phone all through yesterday, last night, this morning, talking to folks, trying to figure out what is happening in Baton Rouge as a result of this special session. Obviously, there is a insatiable appetite to drop the tax rate for state income tax for individuals in the state. There's also an insatiable appetite to drop corporate franchise taxes, corporate taxes, inventory taxes, and the like, which are business taxes, and get that off the table as well. The problem is that those taxes seem to generate a lot of money, both for local government as well as state government, and there is a necessity to try and find places where we can make up the difference. And the way that we've addressed the call for this special session is very limited in the manner in which we can do so. So there are a lot of different things that are not on the table that probably should have been on the table. In my view, I said that from day one, even before they went into special session, that it needs to be a more far-reaching, all-encompassing exercise to accomplish what the governor hopes to accomplish. Most people agree that this is something that needs to be done. A lot of people disagree with the manner in which we're going about doing it. And it really puts legislators, I think, in the trick bag, because this is really, and I think a lot of legislators recognize this, this is not a tax cut. This is a tax swap. This is about tax obligations being shifted from corporations in Louisiana to the citizens of Louisiana. Corporate citizens versus individual citizens. And that's what's happening here. And if they raise the state portion of the sales tax by 1% and they give to corporations what they hope to give them as it relates to corporate taxes, all we're doing is shifting that burden from business to individuals. And I'm hearing that there's going to be major changes today. They're trying to figure this out. There'll be some constitutional amendments that'll be out there with no guarantee that it's going to be revenue neutral for people. So, for example, they want to give this teacher's pay raise and make it permanent, not as a stipend. In exchange, they will pay off some of the pension debt with the rainy day fund. And that's a good exercise. I get it. But I don't know whether or not all of these school systems are going to be able to afford to bring that in-house and have to fund that those raises in perpetuity. I think people should look at this long and hard before they go, and they don't have much time, and they need to articulate, please, someone explain to me how this is going to work if I'm taking over the obligation for that amount of money. It could be a lot of unhappy teachers at some point. What seems like maybe a good deal and well-intentioned at first blush may have implications that you're not going to like and it's not going to taste so well later. So I think folks need to really work hard over the coming hours, not days. This is hours. And make your positions known about where this is going to ultimately end up in this tax swap. Those of you that are on income that you're not taxed at state income tax, you are the biggest loser. If the state raises all the services, and I'm hearing that the services that are there that they were thinking about expanding on, that it may very well be and likely that that's off the table as a compromise to those members in the House that did not want to vote for it. I get that. That's the give and take of the process. But if we begin to look at what we are already paying sales tax on and you go pay a penny more, which in effect would be just a little bit over a half a penny because you're already paying 0.45, you're going to get a better flavor for where this is going. It seems to me they want to get something out, whether it's tasteful or not. I never really liked that approach, right? Whether it's tasteful or not, you know. I think a successful process is that everyone kind of sort of likes it. No one's actually head over heels in love with it. And that's when the art of the compromise really works out, and that's what it yields in the end. This is going to be interesting. I hope people are not going to be characterizing this as a tax cut, because in my view, it's not. It's a tax swap. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. And we'll talk about how constitutional carry has impacted gun enforcement and proliferation of school threats and resignations from the Orleans Parish DA's office. Stay with us. We'll be right back.